Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Game two of the NBA Finals tips off at the top of the hour. That's about the time I'll be digging back into your phone call. So if you're on hold, stay there. I will get to you. 855-212-4CBS. I can think of no better way to lead into game two than to provide the most intelligent preview for the game as possible right before tip-off to the game tonight. And therefore, my next guest. He normally joins me in the fourth and final hour of the show, but I figure that's when a lot of basketball fans are going to be, you know, watching basketball, including my next guest. He is the founder of HoopsCritic.com. He is at HoopsCritic on Twitter. You can hear him on NBA Radio on Sirius XM as well. Brian Geltzeiler joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, how are we doing tonight?
Doing great, Shawnee. That's a very kind intro. I bet you say that to all the boys.
That's not true, Geltz. My listeners will back me up. That's not true at all. Hey, Geltz, I know you have been someone who has, in terms of, let's start with Steve Kerr, his absence, not being on the bench. I know one of the things that you have brought up when you and I have talked about Steve Kerr's absence has been, you know, kind of the, he knows how to handle the Draymond Green thing, and it hasn't really been an issue because the Warriors have just been destroying teams, so coaching on the bench hasn't been a big issue for this team. Kerr is back on the bench tonight in a game where Cleveland is, you know, this is kind of do or die for them a little bit, I think, you know, although they came back from down 3-1 last year, but big game for Cleveland. Steve Kerr back on the bench. What do you think the effect is?
Well, I will tell you this. I think there'll be a little bit of an emotional boost because Steve Kerr is a popular guy among his players. I do think it speaks to how important this game is for Golden State. And we look at this from the Cleveland end in that, you know, it makes life a lot easier for them and their chance to win the series if they're able to come out of Oracle 1-1. But I also think you look at Golden State and there's something, you know, they lost from a 3-1 deficit last year. To get off 2-0 is going to be a big deal for them. If they don't win tonight, there's pressure on them regardless. The pressure increases exponentially without a Warrior win tonight. And I think, quite frankly, they want to make sure there's not a letdown there. And for Kerr, if he can get out there, he's going to get out there. But I think the fact that Kerr is going to be on the sidelines speaks to how important the Warriors believe winning this one is tonight. Because, listen, the Warriors, listen, in an ideal world, they'd like to be the only team to ever go 16-0 in a playoff run. And quite frankly, with the way they played in game one, that's on the table. With that yes. said, they're just thinking about winning the series. And I think when you look at the importance of tonight for them, because listen, there's no guarantee they're going to be able to go into Cleveland and get one, let alone two, and be able to sweep. If they can hold serve tonight, it's an enormous advantage for them, a very big game for the Warriors, who, again, one thing you got to remember about these Warriors, as confident as they look, as good as they look, what happened last year is still plenty fresh in plenty of those guys' minds.
Brian Geltzeiler joining me on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Geltz, so the Cavaliers lose by more than 20 in game one. What adjustments do you make if you're Tyronn Lue? Are those adjustments are they personnel-related adjustments, or is it the personnel that he used doing something different? What adjustments do you make?
Shawnee, our buddy Jeff Van Gundy once told me that you cannot start to make schematic adjustments in the NBA Finals. You run what you run. You play what you play. You may do some different things in your playbook that you have in there, but you're not adding stuff in between games. So for the Cavs right now, they play a switching defense. That's what they've done all year. They got crushed in game one with pretty much the Warriors playing a dose of their own medicine. Listen, they won a title last year going at Curry for three consecutive games in pick and roll. You know, they went at Irving big time and loved some too. But mostly Kyrie Irving in game one, the Warriors did. I mean, how many times we see Durant get matched up on Irving and watch him just take advantage of him? I think right now the way to mitigate those types of mismatches a little bit is to have a better player on Steph Curry defensively. And listen, J.R. Smith couldn't handle him. Kyrie certainly couldn't handle him. Amon Shumpert can. Now, listen, Amon Shumpert is not a good shooter. He's a guy the Warriors will leave open all day long. His shot selection stinks. He's not really even a smart offensive player. But boy, can he guard people. And I think when you look at what the Cavs are going to have to do to win this game tonight, which is essentially to do what they can to make it slow, ugly ball, having a player like Amon Shumpert on the floor can be a net benefit for them, because ultimately they're going to play bully ball in the paint. Listen, for the Cavs to get it tied in this series here, this is going to have to revolve around LeBron and Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson getting a whole lot of points in the paint. And if that's going to happen, you're not going to worry so much about who you have on the perimeter, who's taking shots. You are going to worry about how important it is to get stops. And you are going to worry about the fact that if Shumpert gets switched onto Durant, it's a little bit of a tougher matchup for him than Kyrie Irving. And plus, listen, if you're able to help him recover a little bit, which I don't think they will, but you have Shumpert, it's just a much better defensive player on the floor than what J.R. Smith provided to you in game one. And I think Shumpert can be that. So to me, that's an adjustment I make. The other thing I would do is this, and it's a little bit bizarre, and I heard Rick Bucher mention this earlier this week, and I thought this was an interesting idea. You know, they had, first of all, I think when they go to the bench and LeBron is not in the game, they have to have Thompson, Love, and Irving always in the game when LeBron's not. They didn't do that in game one. And granted, LeBron didn't miss a lot of minutes, so they didn't do very well in the minutes LeBron was on the bench.
Yeah.
The flip side is that I think you can kind of put a bench lineup in to press the Warriors bench a little bit, where you put LeBron and all shooters on the floor. So LeBron, Fry, Jefferson, Korver, and Darren Williams. And are you going to guard anybody with that lineup? Heck no. But you know what? You got a chance to fire in a couple of threes for a few-minute period and see if you can put some pressure on the Warriors on that end of the floor where the Warriors have been dominant defensively. So you look at adjustments here. It's personnel-based for the Cavs. But again, you got to be very careful how frequently you go small and allow Steve Kerr to force one of Thompson or Love off the floor, which is a big benefit the Warriors can do when the when they look to go small and the Cavs play that death lineup. I think that really Ty Lue, he has to absolutely understand where his bread is buttered, and that's with Love, Thompson, James on the floor together.
Geltz, the chatter out of Cleveland's camp over the last couple days is J.R. Smith needs to shoot it more if we're going to have a chance. When you read that headline and you read that story, do you buy into J.R. Smith needing to shoot the ball more?
No, I buy into J.R. Smith playing better defense, stopping somebody, yeah. Please. I mean, here's the thing. For the Cavs to win here, it's not going to be about J.R. Smith shooting the ball more. It's going to be about LeBron James shooting the ball more. Listen,
yeah.
What Golden State did in game one is they said, okay, we know that James is going to look to get other people involved early and often, and we're staying at home on shooters. And you saw what happened in the second quarter. LeBron had 8 turnovers in the game. I think 6 of them were in the second quarter. They just sat back and waited for LeBron to throw the ball to wings to shooters, and they were all over those passes. So I think right now, I believe LeBron James is absolutely got to be that guy that just kind of goes to the basket with everything. The path that the Cavs repeating is going to run through the paint, and that includes LeBron James playing the game in the paint. So, yeah, listen, to me, for JR, they can't keep him on the floor if he's not going to defend better. That I'll tell you, Shawnee. But I'll also tell you this, LeBron's got to take over a game here early on. He can't worry at all about getting other guys involved. That'll come later. If he scores and gets going early, it'll create space for everybody. But at this point in time, the Warriors are playing him as a guy that's not going to be unbelievably aggressive attacking the paint. That has to change for Cleveland, and it's the only way they can put the Warriors on their heels at all. LeBron's a guy that values efficiency. He's got to kind of throw caution to the wind with efficiency and go at Golden State in the paint and go at him hard.
He's got to be a bit of a ball hog, right, Kilt?
Correct. He's got to be a bit of a ball hog. Listen, this is not a series where efficiency is going to matter. We go and talk about the series LeBron had 2 years ago when Golden State 1-6 and LeBron didn't have Irving and he didn't have Love and how great he played. Was he efficient in that series? No,
nope.
But he played great. And they were able to play slow, ugly ball with everything running through LeBron to the point that he was exhausted. You know what? I think in game two, that's kind of what you have to do here. It's Sunday night. They don't play again until Wednesday. Run him, exhaust him. You haven't played a lot of games. Give him the ball and let him do everything he can. And listen, on the defensive side, I hate to say it, he's going to spend a lot of time guarding Kevin Durant because I don't know if anyone can, but he's got the best chance anybody on this team of doing it. Listen, LeBron has to be a scorer for this team to have a chance to have some success. And that's something he did it here and there in game one, but we need to see early offensive aggression out of him.
Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, you know, Kevin Durant was the best player on the floor in game one. I don't think there's any question about that. And I think what's impressed me the most about Kevin Durant is we all know he's a great offensive player, But and we all know this Warriors team is a great offensive team, but we forget sometimes how great a defensive team they are. And I feel like the Warriors being with the Warriors has kind of brought out that side of Kevin Durant, just how dangerous a player and versatile a player he can be defensively. Can you speak to Kevin Durant's impact at the defensive end of the floor?
First of all, I will tell you this. I don't believe the Warriors have hit their peak of who they can be offensively. I think they have defensively. They're phenomenal on that end of the floor. Yeah. And Durant is an enormous reason why. It's funny, Shawnee, because, you know, we started to see this last year in the San Antonio series. And then they went bully ball at times in that series with Cantor and Ibaka Cantor and Adams together in the front line. And then when they got into the Golden State series and got a lead, they were playing a lot of small ball with Durant as a main big for them. And he was tremendous in that role. Golden State has built on that. And right now, Kevin Durant, quite frankly, is one of the best defensive players in the league. A guy that used to not be engaged on that end of the floor has become dominant on that end. And his addition to that death lineup as an upgrade over Harrison Barnes has made them tremendous. And for him as an individual defender, he's great. As a team defender, he's great. And right now, you look, you know, with Draymond, and Draymond helps him a lot, because one of the things you've seen out of Kevin Durant here, it's his ability to know where to be at certain points in time off the ball. He didn't have an orchestrator like that when he was in Oklahoma City teaching him those things. Draymond has taught him those things, and he's tremendous in every aspect of the game on that end of the floor. And again, we love their offense, and it's so much fun to watch. Their defense is the beauty of why they're 13-0 in the playoffs, why they're as great as they are, and why they're on their way to winning a title here.
It's how you keep Klay Thompson and Draymond Green on the floor when they shoot 6-for-28 and 1-for-10 from three, and you still watch the team and go, thank God Draymond Green and Klay Thompson are still on the floor, right?
That's exactly it. And the two of them are tremendous defensively. I have not understood this whole, oh my God, what's wrong with Klay Thompson? You know what? He's not hitting shots. There's not a ton of looks for him because Curry and Durant have been on fire. He's a team player. He's the best perimeter defender on this team. And he's doing an unbelievable job as a defensive player for this team. There's nothing wrong with Klay Thompson. He's one of the best players in the league. He's just on a team that doesn't need necessarily the strength of his shooting. So everybody gets a little nuts with him missing open shots. It happens. He's very close to starting to hit these open shots. And if he does, good night, nurse, man. This whole thing ends quickly. And that's the scary part for Cleveland right here.
That's
a stride offensively. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, 36% from three and 68% from the free throw line in game one, and they win by 22 points. It's unbelievable.
Well, and also, in all fairness, they only turned it over four times.
Yes.
And 14 offensive rebounds as well.
That helps.
And so that creates a whole lot of extra possessions for them, especially when Cleveland turns it over 20 times.
Yep. They are protecting and valuing the basketball. No question about that. Geltz, we got about 30 seconds. Any sort of prediction for tonight's game?
No, I think it'll be closer, and I think Golden State will still win, and I think it will be closer. One little aside to Golden State protecting the ball better, Shawnee. Notice Curry's not firing as many threes from two steps over the midcourt line. And he's also not throwing any of those behind-the-back passes in the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
Everything's been playing it straight, and the shot selection's been better, taking care of the ball's been better. Listen, I think that we'll see a slower performance out of the Cavs tonight, more of a bully ball. They've talked about playing better physically and doing more of that. I think there's no doubt that we will certainly see that. But I still think the Warriors have another gear to get to that they just haven't quite get to on the offensive end of the floor. And if they do, Cavs don't have a chance. I think Warriors take tonight in what will be a very, very entertaining and close game.
Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com, @HoopsCritic on Twitter. Geltz, go enjoy the game. I appreciate it, buddy.
Always my pleasure, Shawnee. Talk to you next week, brother. Take care.
You got it. Thanks, Geltz. Yeah, I look forward to that. All right, Brian Geltzeiler.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.